We still kept coming back to Georgia because where we are in Northeast Georgia is certainly a special place. And the beauty, the opportunities that exist here are pretty unique. If we want ag to continue in our family, the next generation really needs to have a say in where and what that looks like. So we all ended up landing here, and it is just, it's awesome.
Wagyu beef originates in Japan. It's some of the most delicious and sought-after meat in all the world. But here in America, One Georgia Farm has pioneered its own breed of Wagyu, and it's making a big sizzle. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia Grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today's stop is in Northeast Georgia in a little town called Demarest in Habersham County. This is where the Russell family is proudly carrying the torch of high-quality American beef. Here at Providence Farmstead, these special cattle have quite a home. Nestled in the rolling hills, these animals are raised with care by a tight-knit family who know them quite well. The American Wagyu reside on over 200 acres here in Georgia, and just over the border in Otto, North Carolina, the Russell family is completing their dairy and creamery operation.
Well, we started originally as dairy farmers, and so that was our initial passion. In about 2011, we got started in the beef business.
That's the voice of C.A. Russell. He co-owns Providence Farmstead with his wife, Kirsten. She says their mission of high-quality beef and dairy products is led by a deeper purpose.
Well, let's start with the name, Providence Farmstead. How did it come about?
As we moved from California back to Georgia, where C.A.'s from, we felt like we were reorienting our compass, and we felt like the compass and the idea of God providing a way forward for us has to do with Providence, and it's a blessing and an opportunity that we've been given, and we hope to continue to use that, those gifts and the abilities that we have and our children have, to create something exciting here for people to experience agriculture and to experience what we get to live with every day.
And on this farm, the whole family lends a helping hand.
We are blessed that our kids have gifts in different areas. We have one son who is very much into farming and thank goodness also fixing stuff. We have one that likes processing. We have one that likes marketing and sales. So, you know, being able to tap into all those gifts that our kids and their spouse have makes it a blessing to be able to do agriculture in a way that involves your family. Just doing it on our own, I don't think would mean near as much, but when we get to do it with our kids and their spouses, it makes it much more enjoyable.
I think it's been a lot of fun working with my brother specifically on the cattle side of things, and getting my sister involved in the business is fun. My name is Colin Russell. I'm the farming manager here at Providence Farmstead. Coming back here and working with both of them on the operation as well as my parents, I know it's a different, unique opportunity that we get to have working as a family, so I want to make sure we do a good job of keeping it going.
C.A. and Kirsten introduced their kids to the farming life early on.
We would take our kids to the county fairs, and they would show their animals and talk to the public from the time they were young kids. And so this, to me, is an extension of what we did as 4-H leaders and as parents with young kids. It's exciting to be able to have them with us and to do this next part of the journey.
The Russells started that journey as dairy farmers. About an hour north, just over the North Carolina border, the family is getting back to their roots with a dairy farm of their own.
So in North Carolina, we are building a 100-cow dairy. It's going to be a Jersey dairy, but we're setting it up so that we can have agritourism come in and see how milk is made today and be able to offer high-quality milk to the Northeast Georgia region as well. It's really unique that we're right on a main road between Atlanta and Asheville. What a beautiful place to be able to show people agriculture and how milk is made, and they can get to connect with animals. So we want to also make it an animal experience too.
Getting into the beef business was an adjustment for the Russells. It all happened thanks to a vision by their oldest son, Colin.
We're Jersey dairy farmers, and in 2015, when our oldest son came back from college, he realized we needed to diversify a little bit. We also had some extra feed. So what we ended up doing is, because Jersey cows are known for their marbling as far as the dairy breeds, we crossed them with full-blood Wagyu, which is a Japanese beef breed, and they're known for their marbling. And so the product that we got, the calves that we got, just performed really well when they were graded. We started just selling them to packing houses in the Midwest, and about 90% of the carcasses would yield prime. And that's when we realized that we had something special. So we've been raising and keep about 45 calves a month of our American Wagyu and sell them here in Northeast Georgia.
Wagyu is not a specific breed, but a collective name for the four types of Japanese cattle. The first Wagyu to earn a reputation was Kobe beef. Or is it Kobe? Originating in Kobe City, this meat is made from the cattle breed known as Japanese Black. Wagyu meat is tender, flavorful, and a staple for high-end chefs across the globe. Providence Farmstead grows American Wagyu. That's a cross between Japanese cattle and the American dairy breed known as Jersey cows.
So there's Japanese Wagyu, which is what they call full-blood Wagyu. And then there's American Wagyu, which can be a F1 cross between Wagyu and a different American breed of cattle. So what we do is we breed our Jersey dairy cows with full-blood Wagyu genetics. They cross and we have what we call F1s, or American Wagyu. That's what we have here at this farm. We've got about 35 here currently.
Before the beef business, Jersey cows were this farm's specialty.
The Jersey cow has many advantages, but one of the disadvantages is that its bull their bull calves are worth very little. With genomics, you're able to see from the DNA sample which cows are going to be your highest producing, trouble-free, long-lasting animals. And so those are the genetics that we want to try and continue. You know, with bull calves being nothing, worth nothing, we needed to look at a different avenue of for the bull calves. I mean, we started raising those Wagyu, and then we would sell them to packers at 24 months of age and get a large premium for them. We also found out that they all graded real well.
When the Jersey cows were bred with the full-blood Japanese Wagyu cows, the Russells created a new breed, which has taken the culinary world by storm.
For the dairy breeds, they're known for their marbling more than any other dairy breed. And you breed that on top of a full-blood Wagyu, which are known for their marbling, and that is why the Jersey Wagyu cross works so well. If you're breeding an animal to a full-blood Wagyu, they are qualified as American Wagyu. So that's where the terminology comes in from.
The American Wagyu is a beautiful invention. The beloved Jersey is what brought this family into the cow business. It holds a special place in their whole origin story.
Well, originally I'm from Georgia and graduated from the University of Georgia. And in between my junior and senior year, I had the opportunity to judge a Jersey Queen contest. And Jersey cows are the breed of cows that we have.
It was at this fateful contest that UGA agriculture student CA met Kirsten, the eventual matriarch of Providence Farmstead. Kirsten had come from California with her father, a dairy farmer.
So I ended up after doing an internship for her dad, who was in dairy farming. In fact, her family's been in dairy farming. She'll be fourth generation now in California. Ended up, after the internship, getting a job there after graduation, and sort of the rest is history.
California has its advantages, sure, but there's nothing quite like coming home to Georgia.
But we still kept coming back to Georgia because where we are in Northeast Georgia is certainly a special place. And the beauty, the opportunities that exist here are pretty unique. And we brought our kids back. If we want ag to continue in our family, the next generation really needs to have a say in where and what that looks like. So we all ended up landing here, and it is just, it's awesome.
I'm really thankful that we have the opportunity to purchase the farm here in North Carolina and the farm in Georgia, and that we can start teaching people about agriculture. That's my passion, that's our passion. We were 4-H leaders for about 20 years and involved in FFA programs, and so we really enjoy showing and telling people about our cattle and about how milk is made, and that those are some of the things we'd like to do here. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm pleased that they all saw the future in agriculture in Georgia and this region.
One of the trademarks of Wagyu is its beautiful marbling. That's the fat pattern in the cuts of meat.
There are people who get their meat and want to cut out that fat, and you get this American Wagyu, that's going to be impossible because it's all marbled in and mixed in. But that fat can have nutrition. That fat can be good, and it's flavor.
Yes, yes. So the fat compound in American Wagyu is not going to be all harmful fat, and it's got a nice buttery taste to it as well. And since it is all throughout the meat, that flavor and that mouthfeel is extremely consistent. And so our American Wagyu has a healthy type of fat.
American Wagyu might look a little different from what you'll find in Japan, but make no mistake, their taste is unmatched.
So if you look at the Wagyu here, you're going to see that they're a little bit tighter ribbed, smaller animals, not so big, puffy like a typical beef cattle you'd see. The reason that is because the Wagyu are a lot smaller breed naturally, so these guys are not going to be as big or as round as a typical Angus beef cattle would be. But the quality of the meat's still there.
Colin says these cattle have a beautiful life here on the farm.
It's a very nice, cushy life that they get to live here on the top of these hills in Demarest, overlooking the city of Clarksville to the north there. Nice green pastures for them. And now they're getting to see the fall colors, so whatever that counts, being colorblind, but they get to enjoy it.
Very good. I'm sure they appreciate the idea of it for them.
We like to say that our cattle, we want to make sure that they only have one bad day. And the rest of their lives is pretty good up here.
That was the voice of McAllister Russell, also known as Callie. She's in charge of marketing for Providence Farmstead.
We're delighted that our daughter McAllister has taken on the marketing for our American Wagyu beef. She's working with chefs at restaurants throughout the Northeast Georgia area and a few markets.
You won't see a lot of chefs like to talk about having a brisket and chuck only ground that's like very fatty. And yes, our patties are not going to be that because I want to keep my briskets whole, you know, and that's, there's value in that. And you know, some weeks I'm not able to sell everything, so I might just put that into my grind, and it's still not going to change the overall quality of it. the quality remains consistent whether or not I put a top round in my patty or not. You know, a lot of chefs like do not want to see any of the round meats in your patty because it's going to make it a darker patty, but and not be as fatty. But with the Wagyu, that's not really an issue for us because it's got so much great marbling in it throughout that I can throw in the top round if I'm not going to be able to find somebody who can use it that week for a roast beef sandwich or for jerky or whatever.
The fat's just better because what it does is it like it's more buttery, creamy almost than a typical Angus fat. So it's got a melting point that's similar to butter. And so you put it in your mouth and it just gets that kind of creaminess to it.
You know, you want to cook that in there and it's healthy fat that we should be consuming instead of a lot of what we get, you know, processed and put on our plates.
Not the fat you're getting in potato chips.
Correct.
Doing marketing outreach has given Callie the opportunity to meet some great chefs across Georgia. And they're all doing great things with Providence Farmstead beef.
I sell to this guy with like a taco shop. And he cooks up our heads and makes these awesome tacos with it. But that's a part of, you know, what we really value is being able to make the most of the entire animal.
Callie says for these cows, great nutrition begins in the womb.
We focused and honed in on key nutrition in utero in months 5 through 7 when marbling cells start developing. And later on in life, we're making sure that they have a great nutritious and balanced diet. As we're raising them up to be over 24 months of age. So that time frame also is really important. Wagyu, this breed of cattle, push marbling a little later on in life, in months 24 and 36. And we do harvest before 30 months of age or aim to, so that way we can really make use of the whole animal, as the USDA does not allow you to sell heads or bone-in steaks after 30 months.
Good nutrition means varying their food source. In this case, good old grass.
Sedan is a type of warm season grass. It's pretty leafy. It's got good protein for the steers. We had a sedan field this summer. We had 3 cuttings of sedan that we took for hay for the steers during the wintertime. And now I've come back in last week and planted winter wheat. And we'll harvest that in about March or April. That we'll feed to the steers in the summertime. So we've had a couple cold mornings this past month and pretty much killed all the fescue that we had. We come back in and oversee with ryegrass over the wintertime. Cows seem to like that fairly well.
All that care and nutrition is building up to one crucial moment. Callie showed me where all this beef gets packaged and processed.
The great thing about Wagyu is you really can't go wrong. Every steak and cut of meat is something that you can make use of because of carcass quality. It is so tender and well marbled throughout the entire animal. You know, the back part of the carcass, that's usually a lot more lean. And it is, but with these Wagyu, we're able to see a lot more marbling throughout. But we're trying to pull as much as we can off of these cattle because it's valuable and there's something to be used here and to be creative with. That's why we like to partner with chefs that are looking to do something different in their kitchen besides just serve their center cuts. We sell these deckle on, which is like the hard fat up here, because again, we want that fat cooking into the meat. Of course, the chef can email me and say, hey, I want it trimmed up, and we can trim or have the butchers trim it. Those are yummy. We also sell them in smaller portions for people to have to put in their crock pot. This is also one of my favorites, oxtail. I mean, it's the tail of the animal and super yummy as well. Got tongues, and here's some more ground beef. And we put it through a machine that's able to get it kind of in this pretty little brick form. And then this is really what's helped us to take off. Was getting all of our ground beef into hamburger patties. So we've got a patty machine that's allowed us to really sell those more because chefs don't really like to make their own patties. They want it pre-pattied. And we sell these fresh mostly, and then I'll freeze what we don't sell. So here we have a ribeye, and what we're looking for is what we call intermuscular fat. And that is the distribution of fat throughout. And we really appreciate the fact that it's nice and fine and thin. And our ribeye is not as big as some of the other box beef ribeyes, but chefs have actually really liked that because they're not having to cut a really thin steak. They can cut a 1.5-inch steak for their clients because it's going to still be close to 12 ounces instead of having to have a really thin steak that's huge and got that big shape.
These cows may be colorblind, but that doesn't stop their curiosity.
And they're very curious animals. I see them interested in what you're doing here.
Yes, sir. They got a little bit of that dairy cow. Dairy cattle are very curious. Beef cattle are more standoffish, so they get a good mix of their genes.
You find different personalities in these.
Oh, for sure. Those red ones are crazy. They are antagonizers. They pushed that red cart down the hill one time, right through the fence and everything. He got me good this morning. He headbutted me real good.
It's one of those with like almost hit you airborne.
Okay, now come back this way, buddy. Don't act like you don't know what you're doing. You're in all sorts of photos.
We actually might get him in our Christmas card photo, we're thinking.
Don't push him, Colin. Like, do something nice. Oh. You're petting him. My gosh.
You don't understand our relationship. See? Look at that. He's all right.
These cows live well and eat well. But one special cow gets an extra helping of love from the family.
I guess you usually don't name them, but this one's Wilson.
Yes, this is Wilson, our Wagyu. He is one of the most docile animals we have on the farm here. He's good if you ever want to come by and pet him. He's always up for a good pet. See, he looks more like what you would think a beef cow would look like. Nice, big, roly-poly looking.
But that's also because he's way over 36 months.
Wilson has a distinguished title here on the farm.
Wilson's our mascot, and Wilson's not going to go anywhere.
Wilson got too big and too old, right?
And too friendly.
Too friendly,
he's
yeah.
He's
too
friendly.
He's head of cattle relations.
Yes, Wilson is indeed one charming fellow. And for a cow living on a beef farm, he's just about as lucky as it gets.
So what's the plan for Wilson?
He's our family pet. My dad won't let him go in.
Understood.
The joys of family business. I wanted to load him up on the trailer as quick as we can, and my dad won't let me.
Wilson, you know how much we could get for you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
On this family farm, dedication and a passion for quality is what makes all the difference. But none of it would be possible without a strong family unit to make it all happen.
We're passionate about agriculture. And we are delighted that our children and our daughter-in-law have all decided to join us on this adventure and share our love for agriculture with the Northeast Georgia area.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.